We begin the current daven says Zivam is daf kov gimel. We begin 6 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, we have a contradiction in the halacha of ampiloyis, which is a soft type of a shoe, which one would call it like a sock. On the one hand, there seemed to be a brisa that indicates that it's not considered a shoe, and the other one seemed to indicate that it is a shoe. So that rava resolved, and that's what the Gemara brought a brisa to indicate that depends what type of ampiloyis. If it's made out of or out of leather, then it's considered a shoe. If it's made out of a beged, out of cloth, then it's not considered a shoe. Now, in that brisa, there was a contrast between which the ampiloyis was on one side and the other side, by those that are kosher for chalitza to be done, and those that are not. So then our Gemara continues and asks, regarding this brisa that was quoted in support of Rava, kav hakiteya, regarding this this form that's made for someone that has his foot that was amputated, so he doesn't have a foot, so they make for him some type of a block that he puts his leg into, which just gives him that form where to put his leg, that the Tana, this brisa, said that it's considered a shoe, in other words, that you could do chalitza by her removing that from his leg. Mani, who's the Tana of this brisa? So I think Mar says, Remeir, it's going like Remeir, the Tana, like the Mishnah Masech the Shabbos. The Mishnah there says that hakiteya yoitza, someone that had his foot amputated could go out on Shabbos, bekav shaloi, with his prosthetic foot, which is what this kav basically is. Div Remeir, that's the opinion of Remeir, because he considers that a shoe, and you could wear shoes on Shabbos. Rabbi Yisa says that it's forbidden. He doesn't consider that a shoe, and therefore it's a masa, it's carrying something on Shabbos, which is forbidden. And therefore we see, Remeir holds that the kav is considered a shoe, and therefore you could do chalitza with the kav of the kiteya. Now, however, the Gemara asks, but bampiloya shall beg it. Regarding a sock made out of cloth that we learned in the seifa of this brisa, that the chalitza is possible with that, Asan Rabbanon, that seems to indicate that the time of the brisa is like the Rabban who argue under Meir regarding the halacha of kav hakiteya, where obviously according to them, it's not going to be considered a minnal because that's not made out of leather, it's made out of cloth. Now, because actually if according to a Meir, where he says that the kav hakiteya, this prosthetic foot, this shoe that's made for him, is considered a nal, so obviously, as this is related to the discussion of the previous stuff, he does not infer from the pasuk that's brought from Analecha Tachash that a shoe has to be made out of just something like the animal which is Tachash, in other words, hide from an animal which is leather, and that's why he holds Ampiloi, even made out of a beged, would also be considered now. So it seems contradictory in the brisa itself, who is the Tana of this brisa? On the one hand, Kav Hakiteya sounds like a Meir, who says that it's a shoe even though it's not made out of leather. And yet, at the other hand, we have the end of the brace that says that Ampiloi shall beggar and not consider a null. Now, why aren't they considered a null? Obviously, because as we contrasted in the brace itself, they're not made out of leather. So, does it have to be made out of leather or not? Is it like Remeir or is it not? So, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Mid the Sefer Rabbanan, from the fact that the Sefer is obviously like the Rabbanan, as we said, because according to Remeir, Ampiloi shall beggar should also be considered as a shoe, just like Kav Hakiteya. So Reisha, that was talking about Kaveh Kiteya being kosher for Chalitza, is Nam Rabbanan, is also going according to Rabbanan. Now, although the Rabbanan do make the inference of an Alecha Tachash, that a Naal, a shoe, when the Torah talks about a Naal, has to be similar to the Tachash that it's made out of leather, so how do we understand the first case of a Kaveh Kiteya? So that the Gemara says, V'Reisha, but that where the Brayis is saying that Kaveh Kiteya is kosher for Chalitza, is Tumah B'Mechupa'or, where it's covered with leather, and therefore it's considered a leather shoe. Because although the form maybe is made out of wood or whatever the block is made out of, but this foot, this shoe for the person that's missing his foot, is covered with leather, and therefore it's considered a leather shoe. And that's why it's kosher, because it has to be leather, and that's why they say, Bampiloi shall beged, is not valid for chalitza. Now that Amalei Rava asked in Abaye's resolution, he says, wait a second. Aval emecha ba'or ma'ibu, so what are you saying? That it's going like the Rabbanan, but regarding this kav of the amputee, in other words, the kiteya, if it wasn't covered with leather, then what would be the halacha? Then pasla, obviously you'd be saying that's pasla, because it has to be leather. So then, ihachia, the tani, seifa, bampiloi, yishal beged, then instead of the seifa, which is contrasting with the reisha, the brisa, regarding those types of shoes that are pasla, instead of talking about a cloth sock, which that's obviously not a shoe, as the Gemara will shortly illustrate, because that doesn't even protect your foot from the elements. Liflig b'didah, you should have, according to your interpretation, the Sefer of the Brisa should have differentiated in the case of Kav HaKiteya itself. And it should have said, when did we say that this Kav of the Kiteya is kosher? That's when it's covered with leather. Possible. When it's not covered with leather, then it's possible. And that's a bigger chiddush. Although, obviously, the Kav protects from the elements, which, as Rashi brought in the previous daf, is the defining characteristic of a shoe, but still it's not considered a nal, because additionally to that, it has to be leather. And for sure, we would know that on Peloy Shel Beged are not kosher. So therefore, according to you, it doesn't make sense. Why did they pick on Peloy Shel Beged if they could have said even the bigger chiddush? And in the case of the Reisha itself, which we find the Braisa differentiates between case of the Reisha, which are kosher, and Sefer, when it's a little bit different, that's possible. It should have said in Kav HaKiteya that if it's not covered with leather, it's going to be possible. So Elam Rabbi, rather, Rabbi says the other way. He says, "Mid Reisha Rameir," from the fact that the Reisha is like Rameir, as he says, because Kav HaKiteya, which is not a leather shoe, Rameir, as we find the Mishnah itself, the Shabbos holds it is a shoe, and therefore valid for Chalitza. So Sefer Nami Rameir. So the Sefer is also like Rameir. Now, who is not medayik tachash, that it has to be leather and therefore Kav HaKiteya is kosher. In spite of that, regarding these socks made out of cloth, heels are not going to be considered shoes. Why not? Doesn't have to be leather. The reason is because regarding the case of the ratio by the Kav HaKiteya, Megan, it protects the foot from the elements. So although it's not covered with leather, Rameir does not hold to the inference from the pasuk that all shoes have to be like tachash, has to be leather. So since it protects from the elements, as Rashi brought in the previous daf, that we see that that's the defining characteristic of a shoe, that it protects from the elements, if it's going to be kosher. But v'hai, regarding the ampiloya, that's made out of cloth, like a sock, even Rameir would agree, loy megan, that it doesn't protect from the elements, and therefore it's not a shoe, and that's why it's not going to be kosher. But really, the whole brice is going like Rameir. More halachas on the process of chalitza. Amar Meimer says, hai man the chalitz, someone that's having chalitza done to his shoe, tzarch lemitchase lekara, he has to push his foot down onto the ground. In other words, we don't want gravity pulling off the shoe. It has to be tied onto the ground. The cheese is doing the whole process of pulling it off. Now that the Gemara asked, Omalei Rav Ashi L'Amem, Bavatani, learn the Braisa, and that's why we're introducing this halacha, which is from the Braisa we quoted before said, which is from the previous staff on the top of this Amid, Bein Oimid, Bein Yoshev, Bein Mutum, that the woman could fulfill chalitza, whether the Yavam is standing, sitting, or leaning over. Now, generally, when someone's leaning over, he's not pressing his foot down, and yet still we see that's a valid chalitza. I think Gemara says, Emo, lo'ilam, d'dachas l'kari. Yes, it could be that he's leaning over, but, as we qualified here, it has to be that he's pressing his foot down, because or else, that would not be a valid chalitza. V'omar Amimer, another halacha from Amimer, says, Haiman de mesagi alicha sodikare. Regarding someone that walks on the upper part of his foot. In other words, that his foot is twisted. Generally, if someone puts most of his weight on the heel, here he puts most of the weight on the front part of the foot because actually his foot is twisted backwards. On that, Amimer says, Lo chalitz, such a person cannot do chalitza. Now, Rashi explains, although we learned of Kof Aleph and Aleph, that said that it's valid chalitza even if there's no foot at all, even as long as there's a part of the leg, at least from the knee going downwards, that's going to be kosher. That's because, as Rashi says, because the whole foot is cut off. So you're doing a chalitza from the shaykh, from the leg. And the Torah says that that's valid, because it says me al ragle, which is where the shaykh is. But here, there's not even a regal. So it's not me al ragle, because it's not a shaykh, it's a regal, but it's not a good regal, because it's backwards. And therefore, that such a type of person cannot do chalitza. Now, the Gemara asks on this. Amalei Rav Ashi L'Amemer, he asked HaMemer, but V'tanya Lin, the Braisa, which was the previous Braisa that we had brought, Smoichas HaReglayim, we said that if the woman does chalitza by taking off the supports of the cripple that projects himself, she takes off those supports from his foot, that's a valid chalitza. Lav the chalitza ba'ihu, isn't it talking about that this person who drags himself where his feet are crippled, are backwards, and yet still that's considered a valid chalitza, which is not like you? And that Amemer answers, like, no, the Yoav Leila Acher, it's talking about that he gives his shoes to somebody else who his feet are straight, v'chalitz, and that's how the chalitz is done. And therefore, not a contradiction, but from the person who his feet are backwards, that's never a valid chalitz. Now, based on this, Rav Ashi said, now that Amemer had told him this, so l'maim the kama Amemer, this that Amemer had said, so lav bar oiv v'chalitz, v'lav bar kifiv chalitz, these two individuals, bar oiv and bar kifiv, cannot do chalitza, and that, as this incident is brought in Masechtas Moed Katan, Daf Chafayim Abeis, where they were those who would do eulogies, and they told Rav Ashi what they would eulogize in them, which made Rav Ashi upset. And because of that, they were cursed that their feet were turned backwards, and again, based on Meimas Halacha, such a person cannot do chalitza. Now, Mishnah says that we had just mentioned this before, that min arkuva ulamata b'chul, that if the woman does chalitza, taking off the shoe, not even from his foot, but from his leg, as long as it's below the knee, then that's going to be a valid chalitza. And that's considered, obviously, me'al ragla, it's considered valid that it's taking off from his foot. That the Gemara is very meaning, but we learned in the Braisa seems to contradict us. The Pasuk says, regarding Alila Regal coming up to Eretz Yisrael 3 times a year under 3 Yom Tovim. It says, Shalosh Regalim Tachig Libashana. That the word Regal is translated as Yom Tovim. 3 Yom Tovim, you have to come up and celebrate. Now, but the terminology is Regalim. So therefore, the Braisa expounds that Prat Libali Kavan. That excludes the people that have Kav, as we described, which is their foot was amputated, and they use a Kav in the shape of a foot, where they're exempt from the chiyuv of Re'iyah, which is to come up and bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash on the 3 Yom Tovim. So the Gemara's question is, obviously you see that the sheik, the leg, is not considered a regal. So how can you say in our Mishnah that as long as it's from the knee down, but the leg, even if you don't have a foot, is going to be valid for the halach of chalitza, when we see clearly, our pasuk says, mi'al ragloi, and that's not regal. As we see, regalim excludes someone that has a kav. So I think my answer is, shani halacha, the siv me'al ragloi. Here it's different by chalitza because it says that she takes off the shoe from that which is on top of his foot. In other words, it could have said, v'cholza na'le meragli, she takes off his shoe from his foot. It doesn't say that. From what's on top of the foot, which means to say not only the foot, but even the leg which is on top of the foot. So that the Gemara asks, ihochi l'mayla v'nakuv v'nami. So then, whatever's on top of the foot, then she should be able to do it even if he had his knee amputated. And still, up all the way up to the top of the leg should be also allowed to be done. The Gemara says, no, me'al v'lo me'al d'me'al. It says from what's on top of his foot, but not what's on top of what's on top of the foot. And therefore, what's above the knee, following the next joint, that's already another on top of, and therefore that's not valid. Now, Amar Papa says, Shema Minoah, we can infer from this halacha of the Mishnah, the way we just described it, that says that it's only kosher on the leg from below the knee, that high istavira, the ankle, which is the joint that separates the leg from the foot, ad aranachis, must be that goes all the way down to the bottom of the foot. In other words, that there is no other joint below that, from the ankle down to the heel. And the reason is, if you would entertain that there would be another joint that separates below the ankle, havalaihu me'al, that would make the ankle above the heel, because it's not part of the foot, there's another joint there. And that would make v'sheikah me'al d'me'al, that would make the leg above, which we just said is not valid. So it must be that the ankle is the last one, that's the one that connects, the ankle is that joint that connects the heel, the foot with the leg, because if there was something else, then the ankle itself would be above, and then the sheikh would be above the above. And therefore that wouldn't be valid. Another thing where it says, no, Omer Vashi says, Afilatema Mifsik Basa, you could even say that there's another joint over there, below the ankle, and the ankle's not all the way on the bottom. But called the Bahadi Kara, any joint that's equal with the foot itself, as equal to the sole to the heel, that's not considered me'al, and therefore it's actually kikaradom, it's like the foot itself. So even if there was another joint, it doesn't make a difference, because since it's equal to where the foot is, it's considered part of the foot, and therefore the leg itself, at least below the knee, which is that not above that joint, is going to be considered me'al ragla. Now, similarly, the Mishnah says, "Minakuva lamal," as we said, but if it's from the knee and above, then the chalitza is going to be pasul. Now, that Moser Rav Kana asks from the following pasuk in the Devarim, which seems to indicate that the regel is actually considered the entire foot and the leg going all the way up to where it connects to the hips. Because we find the pasuk in the Devarim that says, "Uvishal yasa hayyitzis mibein raglau," and the embryonic sac, the afterbirth that comes out from between her legs. Now, obviously, we see that the thighs are also considered regel. So how are we saying that it's considered me'al regel? What do you mean? Regel is the term that's used all the way up to the thighs, as we see that's where the afterbirth comes out from. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says no. Bishoshe karas leilet, at the time when the woman kneels in birth, Noyat says ikveho biyarkesel v'yeledes. She presses her heels against her thighs and she gives birth. In other words, actually the pasuk is accurate, even though the regal is only the foot itself, because the child is coming out from between her feet, because she's squatting all the way up that way, and therefore that's me being regalah. But it's not because of the thighs that is coming out from there; rather, it's because of the heels. So the Gemara continues asking Tashma, what are the pasuk in Shmuel Beis that says regarding Mifi Baishas when David HaMelech was returned to his royalty? Says that Lo Aser Raglav. He didn't make his feet. Now, what that is a reference to is that he didn't shave his pubic hairs. And he didn't shave his mustache. So we see that it's called raglov, which that area is all the way on the top of the feet, of the leg, and still we consider that regal. So why shouldn't that be valid to do chalitza, even if the stump is all the way up there? So then the Gemara says, no, lishna ma'aliyat. It's called a refined language that's used in the pasuk. It's not appropriate to be so graphic. And never the pasuk uses the term regel, but of course it's not really regel itself. Regel is the foot, and anything above that is going to be considered me'al or me'al of regel. Similar question. The Gemara says Toshma from pasuk in Shmuel Aleph that says that Yavei Shaul lahasach as regel. Shaul came to cover his feet, which means to say that he was he was emitting me'raglan, which is urine. Now, one thing we see is that the thighs are called regal because we're saying that the water that's coming out, what he's covering, is coming out from between the raglayim. Now, that's all the way up on top by the thighs, and yet still we call that a regal. Again, the Gemara answers lishmai. Again, it's a euphemism. It's an appropriate type of terminology, but it's not really the regal itself. Similar question. The Gemara says, Toshma from a pasuk in Sefer Shaftim, which talks about by Eglon, who is the king of Moav, that they thought that achmesachu ragla b'cheder hamakir. They thought that he was urinating in the cool room. Again, that you see that it's water that comes out from between the regel. And again, the Gemara answers lishtamalia. No, again, that's just an appropriate term that's used. But again, the regel is just the foot, but not the leg. Again, the Gemara asks from a pasuk in Shaftim where it says bein ragleho v'chulu, which was Sisra was cohabiting with Yal, who was the wife of Chevra Keni. And he when there's bia, that's between the thighs, and she was attempting to do this, as the Gemara will shortly explain, just to wear him out, because by having bia he's going to be weaker and then she can kill him, which was the purpose. But anyway, it's calling bia between the legs. Now bia is between the thighs, and therefore you say that regal is all the way up to the top. Again, the Gemara answers no, lishna ma'aliyah is just an appropriate way of talking, and therefore we call it regal, but really the regal is only the foot. Amr Bi'echon says, regarding this last incident that was quoted as a question, Sheva Be'ilois Bol Oisa Rosha Ba'is Hayim. There were seven acts of cohabitation that wicked person Sisera had that day with Yal. Shemek, it says in the pasuk over there, it says, Bein Raglao Kara, between her legs he kneeled, Nafal he fell, Shachav he lay, Bein Raglao Kara, between her legs he kneeled, Nafal he fell. Now, Ba'asher Kara, where he kneeled, Sham Nafal, that's where he fell, Shadud, killed. Now, we see that there are seven terminologies of Kara Nafal and Shachav, where we have Kara Nafal, Shachav, Kara Nafal, and therefore we have seven references to the act of Bia, and we see it was seven times that he cohabited with her. Now, that the Gemara wonders regarding this incident. But how could she do this? She was deriving pleasure in sin with this wicked person's sister. How is she allowed to do this? So Rabbi Yechi says, no. Kaltei vasin shel risham, all the favors of wicked people, which would be in this pleasure of the act of bia that she had with Sisera, as we continue to Amud Beis, rahi etzel tzadikim, that's considered bad for the righteous. In other words, the righteous hate the wicked, and it's repulsive for a righteous person, in this case, Yal, to get pleasure from a wicked person. Therefore, that's not considered pleasure. Actually, it was repulsive for her. Shem, like it says, the pasuk Bereishis, where Hashem tells Lavan, Hisham lecha pentedaber im Yaakov, be careful, don't talk with Yaakov, mitayv adra, from good to bad. Now, the question is, bishlam ara lechayai, we could understand why Hashem would tell him, don't talk bad to Yaakov. But al teva my lo, what's wrong if he blesses him and says good things to him? Rather, we could infer from there that Tevas and Shavu Shalom, what wicked people think they're doing favors to the righteous. Roy Yitzel Tzadikim, that's bad for the righteous. They don't want anything to do. Don't give me your curses and don't give me your blessings. Now, the Gemara wonders regarding that proof. Bishlam Ahasim, we could understand that pasuk by Lavan. The reason why that would be bad for Yaakov, even if he's saying Toiv, is because Dilma Matkulei Shma David Tzkechavim, because maybe he's so excited and Lavan is an idol worshiper, and they might even in his blessing mention his idols as he actually does over there. He says, Loma Ganavta Es Elohoi, why'd you steal my gods? Now, so we understand why it would be bad. I don't want to hear anything from you. Don't tell me even you're good. But here, what was the bad? She's having a sensual pleasure. What's wrong that it was happening through a wicked person? So I think my answer is actually the Koshod Bezuama. It is bad because the wicked people inserted in her this uncleanliness, this type of a tumah. Like Rabbi Yechanan says, B'shoshabo nochesh al chava. At the time when the primordial snake had beer with Chava, Hitl Bazuama, so he put into her this type of a tumah. Now, Yisrael Shamdal Har Sinai, however, the Jewish people that stood by Mount Sinai, Pasku Zuama, and there was such purity that they received over there, that this Zuama, this literally like this sweat, this excretion that mankind had gotten from Chava through the Nachash was removed from them. But Avdi Kachav, Mishalom the Har Sinai, but idol worshippers that didn't stand by Har Sinai, like Pasku Zuama, and they still have this impurity, and that is what Yal got from Sisera, and therefore that's Ra. She doesn't want that. And therefore, there was no problem of her having Hana from this forbidden beer. Now, the Mishnah said that Chalitza b'min al-she'enu shaloi b'chulu, that if the Chalitza is done with the Yavam wearing a shoe that's not his shoe, it's going to be kasher Chalitza. So the Gemara brings a brisa that elaborates on this halacha. Trabayim learn the brisa. It says in the pasuk of Chalitza, it says that she should take off the Chalitza na'aloi, she should take off his shoe. Now, ainli elanali, so from the pasuk, I would think that only his shoe. Now, if he's wearing an ipad shoe, how do we know that that would be a valid chalitza? Tamalim and now, there's another pasuk that says that he's called beis chalutz hanal. Now, that's considered chalutz hanal. It's that a shoe is removed from him. Anybody's shoe is valid for chalitza. So, imkema tamalim and now, so why does it say his shoe in the other pasuk? That's coming to tell you, nala herolo, it has to be a shoe that's fit for him. Which is prat le gadol shein yochel halach bay, that excludes if the shoe is too big that he can't walk in, or prat le katan shein yochel rav lagla, or if it's too small that it doesn't cover the majority of his foot, and uprat le sandal hamesulgim, it also excludes a shoe that's torn shein lo ekev, that doesn't have a heel, which that's not considered naloi his shoe. Now related to this halacha, the Gemara brings the following incident. Did Abaya have a koy kamed of Yosef? Abaya, who was always, as we find many times in Shas, was in front of Rav Yosef. Asoi Yivam alachatza. Yivam came to do chalitza. So Amar lay. So he said to Abaya, Havli sandalach, give your shoe to the Yavam that he could do chalitza with it. So Yavli sandalach, the smallest. So he gave him his left sandal. Now, as Rashi says, Abaya did this deliberately because Abaya didn't hold that the halacha permitting a sandal she'ina shaloi that the Yavam could use someone else's shoe is likat chilo. So therefore, he wanted to test this by also giving what's not like a tchila, by giving a left sandal. Now, Amalei, so Rav Yosef said to Abaya, Eimedam Rabbanu, when did the Rabbanan say in our Mishnah that although chalitza has to be done with the right foot, that you could take a left shoe and put on the right foot, that now it's still going to be chalitza kshera? That's the evidence, that's after the fact. Like a tchila miyama, did they say initially that you should go ahead and take a left shoe for the right foot? Why are you giving him your left shoe? So that Amalei, so that's why Abaya had his opening over here and says, Ihachi, if that's the case, well then sandal she'en shalei nami, then regarding this other halacha of using a shoe that's not his, Imadam Rabbanon diyeva, when the Rabbanon say that's valid, that's only after the fact. Like at Chilam Yama, did they say initially that that should be done? Why are we doing it but the other type of situation that we're taking my shoe for him? So that Amalei's Rabbi responded, oh, that's why you're doing that? No, Hachi coming, look, this is what I was telling you. Havlei v'aknile, give him your shoe and gift it to him, that it should be his. Then, of course, he can gift it back to you, but that would be considered his shoe, and that wouldn't be considered a b'diavad halacha. Now, the Mishnah also said that sandal shel eitz, a sandal that's made out of wood, is going to be kosher. So the Gemara says, Man Tan, who's the Tan of our Mishnah that says using a sandal of wood is going to be kosher? So Mishmuel, he says, it's Remeir, who he says, as we brought on the Amud Aleph, that a kav hakiteya is a null. In other words, that you can go out with it on Shabbos, not considered hoitzah, because it's considered a shoe, which means to say that although the kava of the keter were made out of wood, he still considers that a shoe. It's not like we learned the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. It says, Hakitea, the amputee, Yitzhak Bekav Shalik, could go out with his prosthetic foot, which is basically like this type of a wooden shoe, Divirei Meir. Rabbi Yisi says, it's forbidden. So we see that Rabbi Meir is the one that holds that even if it's made out of wood, it's considered a shoe. However, Abu Dishmol Oimer, he says, no, it could be Toma B'Mechubar, that this wooden shoe is covered with leather, and therefore the Rebbe is going like everybody, even those who argue in your mayor and hold that, no, a shoe has to be made out of leather, and only then can you go out with it on Shabbos, and to use a chalitza, he would talk about that, although it's made out of wood, but it's covered with leather, and therefore that's why everyone would hold it's considered a shoe for chalitza. Now, continuing on these halachas, the Gemara brings the following machloikis in the name of Rav. Amar of Papi Mishmed Rav, Papi says in the name of Rav, Sandal Hamusker, a shoe that's musker. Now, there's two stages in a nega that regarding tsaras. There's when it just has hesker, which is when it's quarantined to see if it's a full-fledged nega, and then there are certain halachs that are appropriate for it. So now when it's just musker, it's just secluded, where it had tsaras, so the halacha is loy tachlitz, but you can't use it during the time when it's in the hesker for chalitza, and the reason why is because we don't want you to use a shoe that has a nega at the time when it has chalut, when it has been concluded that it is a nega, and then you have to burn it. Now, however, if you did do chalitza with a sandal that's only musker, that it's locked up, chalitza sikshera, so that will be a valid chalitza. And the reason is because this is not a type of a nega, or in other words, the shoe that has a nega that has to be burnt. Hence, it still has the requisite shear of, as we said, that a sandal has to have a certain shear, has to cover the entire foot, a certain shear that it has, and therefore that you have by a sandal that's only musker. But Rav Papi says, name of Rav, a sandal hamuchlit loy tachlitz boy, regarding a sandal that the nega has already been qualified that it is of bona fide nega, that of tzras, then you can't do chalitza. And moreover, imchaltza chalitza subsul, if you do chalitza with it, even after the fact, it's considered invalid chalitza. And the reason is because that type of a nega that was chalit, that was qualified as a nega, has to be burnt. Now, we need a measurement, as we said, because it has to, let's say, one of the things has to cover the majority of the foot, which is a shear that the shoe of chalitza has to have. Now, this is what the halacha, what's called is kesutzi mechdeshir reha, something that's halachically deemed for burning, and that is, it's forbidden for us to utilize it. We already view it now as if it's already pulverized, as if it's already was burnt. Now, obviously, a burnt shoe doesn't have a shear. It's already ashes. And therefore, we already view it now as if it doesn't have a shear, and therefore, that's not a valid shoe to do chalitza with, even now that it wasn't burnt yet. That's Rav Papi's version. Rav Papa Mishmei D'Rav Amar, he says a different version. He says, Echad sandal ha-musker, v'echad sandal mochle loitachas ba. Yes, my version agrees with you in Rava, that neither one can you initially do chalitza with. But, v'mcholtza chalitza sikshe, but he says that after the fact, not only by a sandal ha-musker, but even by sandal ha-mukhlet, after the fact, it will be valid. In other words, obviously, it doesn't hold of the kesusi mechdeshereha that we view it as if it's not around anymore. No, there's a shoe over here. And therefore, it's going to be valid, even though halachically we say it should be burnt already. Still now, after the fact, it will be valid. Now, Netanyahu asked a few questions on Rav Papi's chidush that we say kesusi mechdeshereha, that we see it already now, halachically, as if it doesn't have a shoe and therefore not valid, because there's halacha to have to burn it. Because Meis, we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Negoyim that says, Beis HaMuzker, a house that's quarantined. In other words, that we're waiting that week to see what happens to it. It has not been qualified yet as a bona fide nega. So, mitame mitaychay, such a house, if someone touches the internal part of that house, he opens up the door and he just touches. Now, as Rashi says, the chiddush of this halacha is even if the person's entire body didn't go in, which that's the tumah of Baal HaBayis, when you come into a house that has a nega, that just by coming in you become tummy. Here he just stuck his finger in, but as long as he touched the inside wall, then it's mitame mitaychei, it transmits tumah from the inside, it becomes tummy. Now mukhlet, regarding a house that was qualified as a full-fledged nega, then that will transmit tumah even mitaychei umeachrav, whether he touches the inside wall or the outside wall. The Mishnah continues and says, both the Bais Musker and the Bais Mukhlid transmit Tumah to a person if he just comes into the house. As long as the majority of the person comes in, he's tamei. As the pasuk says, va'balabais, whoever comes into a house with a nega, he's tamei. Now Rashi says that in Taras Kayan, and we learn from Sukkim, that a musker becomes tamei from coming from only if he touches the inside, but not from the outside. Now, but by Mukhlid, it says tamei who is tamei, which obviously is coming to add another tumah that Mukhlid has over musker, which tells you that the tumah is going to be not only from the inside world, but even from the outside world. Now, but one thing that the Gemara asks in our Papa is, now we're talking about abayis mukhlid. If you would entertain that, like you said, when something is mukhlid, so it has to be burnt. So even now, if you would already like it's burnt as if it's pulverized, as if it doesn't have a shear, well then how do you say that when you come into either one of these houses, whether musker or mukhlid, that then the person becomes tamei? But va'bi'ina, we need as the pasuk qualifies, va'bo'al abayis v'leka, you need to have that the person comes into a house which has certain measurements, has to be a certain size to be considered, quote, a bias, and you don't have that when it's mukhlad because it's pulverized. So how does someone become tummy, as we said in the Mishnah, mitame bebiya, by just coming in, if there's no sheer bias? So that the Gemara answers for Rav Papi, shani hasam. There it's different in that halacha, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says in Mayikra, v'nitetz es habayis, that you have to demolish the house. But when you read the Pasuk, what it's saying is, that a filibashas netitza karabais, even when it's being demolished, it's called a house. So, although, yes, generally it wouldn't be called a bais, it wouldn't be called something because it's pulverized, it wouldn't have the shear. Here we see that even when it's being pulverized, in other words, obviously a few seconds before you'd pulverize, that yet you demolished it, you're demolishing a house. What do you mean a house? It's not a house, because the second we made a mukhlit, it wasn't a house already. So, obviously, we see that the pasuk here is saying that here it's different, and that we will consider a bias, even though halachically Mechta Sharel says that it's not around. Here the pasuk is obviously saying that if you're smashing it, you're smashing a house, obviously it is a house before you smash it, even after mukhlad. But the Gemara continues asking on Rav Papi. Toshma, learn the following braisa, that matlas, that's a cloth that has a nega on it, sheyesh be'sholosh al sholosh, that it measures 3 finger breadths wide squared. Now, that's the minimum measurement for something that could be makabel tumah because it's fit at least for paupers. Paupers use even such a small size cloth. Now, so the Braisa says, the ava bishim bekezais, even if actually, although it has that those dimensions, it doesn't have the measurement of an olive of mass because the threads are very thin, so you don't have that much of cloth there. But since at least that it measures 3 by 3 finger breadths, so kivin shenichnas rubu labayis tar, as long as the majority of this cloth goes into a pure house, temasuhu, so then it transmits tuma to all the vessels in the house. And that's because a metzaira transmits tuma when he comes into a house, and so to a garment or a stone that has a nega, they all transmit tuma when to other objects that are in the same oil in the same tent as them. Now, and therefore, since the majority of the garment comes in, then we go based on the halach of rubik akulai. Since the majority came in, it's like the whole entire thing came in. But the Gemara asks, my lav mukhletes, aren't we talking about here even a type of a cloth that's the 3 finger breadths squared in the measurement, that it's a nega mukhlet, it's been qualified as a bona fide nega, and yet in spite of that, we say that the minority that didn't come into the house, it gets halachically considered after the majority that did go in. As if, and now the problem with that is, according to Rav Papi, is since he says, kisuzi mechta shereho, especially if you're coming from a halachic measurement, which halachically, for sure, we see it as burnt. The question is, Rav Papi says even more, that it's almost like, as if we don't see it here at all. But most definitely, even if we're saying that it's going to transmit tumas oil, you could only see what went in. Because rubik akula is a halachic measurement. The majority didn't go in. The entirety didn't go in. It's just based on the halachas, like lavud and rubik akula. There are certain things that we see halachically, we view it as if it's like that. Now, in the house, there's not 3 by 3. The majority went in. Now, according to Rav Papi, especially based on his halachic interpretation that we see it as burnt already, so the halachic measurement cannot be considered as if it went in, because halachically, the measurement is not even there. So how, according to him, could it transmit tuma even if a majority just went in? So I think Moshe says, Loi, it's actually not talking about a cloth that was mukhlit, it's talking about musgaris, it's talking that was only quarantined, it's not bona fide, and therefore that's something that is not oimid l'sreif, and therefore it's not kisuzi mechta shira, and therefore you could go bas rubik akulai. On that, the Gemara asks, ihachi, if it's talking about a musger, well, aim a seifa, look at the end of that braisa. The braisa says, if hoyu bo kama zesim, if let's say even if it was just 3x3 finger breadths in its dimensions, but it had very thick threads, and therefore the mass of it was many olives worth. So kivin shenichnas mimena kezayis labayis tar. So there, if only one kezayis of thread in that cloth went into the pure house, timasu, it will transmit tumah to all the different vessels in that house, even though here you don't even have a beged, because you don't even have the majority going in. You had just a minority of the beged going in. But since you have a zayis, which is enough for the halachas of tumah, if that went in, that will transmit tumah to the whole thing. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Iyamet bishleim muchlatis, if you say that the cloth that has the neg on it was muchlat, well, hainu, so that would make sense why it would transmit tumah, even though not from the halachas of beged, because even the majority of the beged didn't go in, that it would transmit tumah with just an olive size of it, because since it's muchlat, that's the iskish lames. A nega muchlat is equated with a corpse, and a corpse transmits tumah with the size of an olive. Now Rashi says, where do we find this equation? From the pasuk of when Aaron tells Moshe al nos hi kames, that Miriam was only a betzira musker, and Aaron told the Moshe, don't be machlit, don't confirm her as a mitzvah, because then she'll be like a mace. So we see that a nega muchlet is like a mace. So that makes sense why even if the beged's not going in, because even the majority didn't go in, it will still transmit tumah with the size of kezayis, like a mace transmits tumah, as we see that equation. But I'm in muskeres, but you that you want to answer for a papi, that's talking about only a nega that was musgir, samai iskesh lemeis. Why would it be compared to a meis? Why would it transmit tumah if the majority of the beged didn't go in based on just the size of an olive? So Rashi adds in the word here for the girsas, the Gemara's answer is ella, so rather, and truthfully we're talking about not like musgir, it's actually talking about a nega mochlet, as we prove in the Sefer, must be talking about mochlet. However, the reason why we will say that the minority will go after and be attributed to the majority that went in, even for the halachas of tumah, and we don't say k'susa mechtishra, which was the question we asked in our papi. Again, a similar test like the Gemara gave before, is shani hasim, there it's different, because the amakra, the pasuk says, v'saraf es habeged. You have to burn this garment that has the nega mochlet on it. What you see is that filah b'shas treva, even when you're burning it, which it could have been mochlet, whatever, a day ago, whatever it is, kor beged, it's still called, quote, a beged. So we see that it's called a beged, and therefore it could transmit tumah, because although we say k'susa mechtishra, here the Torah is telling you definitively that it still will be considered a beged, which does transmit tumah in the oil. So the Gemara asks, fine, so then b'ligmarinei. So why don't we learn out from there for the halachas of chalitza that it should be considered whole? In other words, the whole halacha of Rapapi was based on that if it's a sandal muchlet, it's not valid because k'susa mechtishra. But why don't we learn from over there where we see by nega that even when it's mukhlit, that it is going to be considered valid because the pasuk calls it beged even when you're burning it. So the Gemara says, no, isser mitumah legemrinan. You can't learn out the halachas of isser. In other words, for the halachas of, let's say, chalitza, from the halachas of tumah, because tumah has a lot of novel halachas, a lot of halachas, l'moshe m'sinai. And therefore, although for there we are considering it a shoe, a garment, even after it was mukhlit, you can't go ahead and compare the halachas of tumah for the halachas of chalitza. Now, Amar Rava says, Hilchas of the halacha is that echad sandal hamusker, whether a sandal that's been quarantined, or ve'echad sandal shemuchlet, or a sandal that's been confirmed as a nega, or ve'echad sandal shalavetz kechavim, or whether a sandal of an idol, where they would put on shoes on this idol when they would transport it from one place to another place, loytachlitz, regarding all these types of shoes you shouldn't do chalitza with, but v'mchaltza chalitza sikshir, if chalitza was done, it is a valid chalitza. Now, as Rashi explains, the reason is musker, most definitely, that's going to be kasher, because there's no problem. Mukhlit is, as we said before, because even we said that even at the time when it's being burnt, it's called a beged. Now, Rashi explains that Rava holds, that's not considered, as the Gemara said, that you're going to be learning out iser from tumah. The reason is because that's just what's called gila mils ba'ama, just revealing a fact. Obviously, you see from the Torah a fact that is considered a beged even after that's mukhlit, and therefore it will be valid even regarding the halachas of chalitza. And so too regarding when it's the shoe of an idol, that since it's used for transporting the idol and covering its feet, that it's called mishamshei avodah zarah. It's just something that's utilized to support the idol. That's not something that's lisreifa, that has to be burnt. In other words, to say that kisus mechta shirel, and the reason is because there's a way of rectifying it that it won't be usr with what's called bittel. The non-Jew nullifies it, actually is mutter. Now, although now it is, however, wasn't nullified and it's usr ba'anah, and that Rashi says it's not a problem to do chalitza with it because doing the process of chalitza with such a shoe is not considered deriving pleasure from it, as the old Talmudic dictum is that mitzvahs lav lahanos nitnu. Mitzvahs are not considered deriving pleasure from something. It's a mitzvah, it's a command we have to do, and therefore using a shoe that's asabana, it's not problematic as long as it's not kesusi mechta shira. However, shal takrevis avodis kechavim, regarding shoes that were used in the sacrifice, in the way of serving the idol, like a gift that they would give to the idols, where the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Nun says that takrevis avodis kechavim doesn't have any bittel, there's no way of rectifying it, and actually, that because like it's compared to a mess, as the pasuk says, "Vayechlu zivchei mesim." If one eats this, the food from idol worship, which is considered the slaughterings of the dead, therefore there's no takana, and therefore it has to be burnt, and that's called kisusi mechta shirel. Because since it has to be burnt, we view it as it's pulverized right now already. And we're continuing on top of Kof Dalet Alf. Similarly, v'shal irhani dachas, shoes that was from a city that the majority of the inhabitants worshipped idols, where the whole city and their inhabitants, all the property has to be burnt. So again, you have the same idea of kesusa mechta shirel. And v'shal zaka na'asa l'chvaydai, regarding an old person that the shoes were made for his honor, in other words, as burial shrouds to cover his feet, where since they're not made for the purpose of walking with, because he's not walking anywhere, so they're not considered now, this doesn't have the qualification of a shoe, which that's meant for walking. So regarding all these types of shoes, loy tachlitz, you can't do chalitza, and v'em chalitza chalitza zepsul, if you do chalitza with them, the chalitza will be invalid, again, because either it's not a now, it's not a shoe, and that doesn't qualify for the pasuk, or because it doesn't have the shear of a shoe, because it's oymel l'sreifa. Now, in that last halacha, the Gemara asks, Amli Ravin Ravashi says, what's the difference between these burial shroud shoes, which the reason why they're invalid even after the fact is because they're not made for walking, they're not shoes, although it could be regular shoes, but it's not designated for that, so it's not considered anal. And so therefore, the Beidin Anami, so the shoe that, Bezin always had a sandal that they had because it had so many different qualifications necessary to be valid for chalitza, so they had a designated chalitza shoe. Why is that any different? That's lav lalicha of it. That's not meant for walking. It stays here. It's old. People just come in. The man puts on the shoe. The woman takes off the shoe. It's not meant for people to take a stroll in. And therefore, why is that any different than the burial shoes? Samalei, so Ravashi answered him and said, no. Ilu maski be shlucha de beidina. If the messenger of Bezdin wanted to go ahead and walk with them, let's say he didn't have shoes and we sent them on a mission. Mikapar alei dayana, would the judges be upset with him? No, we don't care. It's just no one's interested in these shoes. We just have it ready for people to do chalitza with. But of course it's made for walking. It's just no one ends up walking with it. But if someone took a walk with it, of course, go ahead. Whereas by the burial shrouds, no, it's made for this person to be buried with. And that's why that's not considered null. But here the one that Bezin uses is considered null, and therefore that's valid for the procedure of chalitza.